This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The new film, Four Lions, is a biting satire that is certain to offend many. The movie was directed and co-written by the British comedian Chris Morris, who has made a very successful career satirizing British politics and journalism. Four Lions is about the members of an Islamic terrorist cell who possess all the cunning of the Three Stooges. For a comedy, the film is intensively researched. Morris says he spent 3 years sifting through the stories of real jihadists, and what struck him time and time again, he says, was just how inept and therefore funny they seemed. Here's the film's pack of clumsy jihadists when they can't even agree on where they should detonate their homemade bombs.
Well, we've got a target, bro.
What is it?
It's the mosque.
What?
Yeah, bomb the mosque. Radicalize the moderates, bring it all on.
Buddy, we're not bombing a mosque.
You don't get it, do you, Omar? We radicalize the moderates, the Umar rises up, it all kicks off.
No, I do get it. I tell you what it's like. It's like you're in a fight with someone and they're punching you in the face, right? And so what you're going to do is you punch yourself in the face.
All Chris right. Morris, so welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Right there, a scene of a jihadist cell in Britain. And yet it's verging on Keystone Cops.
It's taken direct from MI5 surveillance, word for word. I mean, the truth is that these things are more ridiculous than you tend to think they might be, given the seriousness of the subject. Barry there, he's arguing bomb the mosque.
Barry is the white convert who is the most radical in the group.
Well, there are good examples of people who start off from a radical ideology that is not Islamic. I mean, there was a guy who was a neo-Nazi in Britain who converted to Islam because of 9/11. So we had that sort of trajectory in mind for Barry. But he's saying bomb the mosque. You know, is he an agent provocateur or is he an idiot?
There are people who approach your film, the comic treatment of a radical Islamic cell in Britain, and say, this just isn't funny. You cannot make this funny. And if you do make me laugh, you've done something insidious in the process. I resent you for making me laugh at it.
Good. Well, that's a good sack of luggage to take to the cinema. I mean, I agree with that sort of position before you see the film, because I wasn't looking at this subject thinking it would be funny, but I just kept finding funny examples whilst I was reading about it. And then when I continued my research through to sitting in on court cases or talking to people who had experience with this kind of stuff, the funny examples didn't stop. I mean, the one that kicked it off was the Yemeni jihadi attack on an American warship. What they were planning to do was to ram it with an exploding boat. What happened was they assembled at the quayside at 3 a.m. and they put their launch in the water. They filled it with explosives and it sank. And at that point, you do have a Keystone Cops moment. And all you have to do is fill in the script of who said what to whom. And it didn't stop after that. That was the thing. Mm. So the cue for making this film funny is nothing less than real life.
I want to ask you about some very interesting choices you made about the character Omar, who is, I think, the brightest or the leader of this group of bombers. His home life, he's a militant. His wife, who's quite beautiful, is in a very happy marriage with him, it seems, acknowledges what he's up to, may not be enthusiastic, but is okay with it. He has a wonderful relationship with their little son, and you've described a perfectly happy home life of Omar the terrorist.
It's on the wrong side, isn't it? I mean, basically, yes, it is a happy home life, and this is suggested by real life as well. You know, these aren't all desperados, looking to get laid. Some of these people do have a happy home life. There was a case in Holland of a jihadi who was in court, and in court he was sort of recanting his radical ideology. His wife, from the gallery, shouted out, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," because he had basically betrayed the cause. So there's not a sense necessarily that you can't have a family and do this. But I think it's just that case of, you know, we use the Lion King to tell the sort of fight against evil.
As he describes the story of the Lion King to their little son.
Yeah, because I spoke to various radical guys, you know, the Lion King was one of their favorite films. And you think this is ridiculous, and then you think, but of course, it's telling an easily understood good versus evil narrative. And if you think, that's the weird thing, is that these guys think they're soldiers on behalf of good. So that begets the scene that you see in the film.
Four Lions sent me back to the archives of the New York Times to read some articles I recalled when Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove came out way back in the 1960s. The film critic of the New York Times in the day, Bosley Crowther, found it necessary to write an essay about the responsibility of the filmmaker in what he does to what people think of our national leaders, or whether in lampooning everybody we are doing a disservice to the country and the people abroad who won't understand our American sense of satire. The articles don't read well, but at least they point at a question that exists, which is, what is the obligation of the satirist when touching on sensitive political subjects, perhaps of life and death? Do you feel any the need to puncture all and everyone involved, or to support any political message at the end? What's your answer?
I think the job is to cause people to write embarrassing sermons. I mean, to be honest, it would be great to see this in grand terms, but actually when you're doing it, I mean, you're following your gut instinct, and I think the test for yourself is not some grandiose sense of what the impact should be or who will get this or who won't. If your jokes are residing on truth that comes from the real world, then you trust to that. And the other job that you have to do is make sure that you are faithful to the quality threshold of the joke. You're not looking at it from the outside. I think all of that happens afterwards, and then you can have all the fun in the world in, you know, playing games with meaners.
You know, but the other day in Washington, D.C., John Stewart concluded the huge rally on the National Mall with a very earnest appeal about our national discourse. I've read people saying, no, he went off the rails right there. His job as a satirist is to be anarchic to the end.
I agree. I mean, his job as a satirist is to sit there and say, yep, 10 million people turned up. I mean, I thought that was a pretty good joke. Now, I didn't see the speech at the end, so I, you know, wouldn't comment on that. But there is a danger. And, you know, you see, it's quite fun to watch satirists get to a certain age and then start preaching. And that's the sort of thing that you... I'm not saying he did that, but that's an area which I think those people who are on the opposite side of the political spectrum love to see. And that rally was not a purely satirical rally, was it?
Well, there's some discussion of that now since. Was it a political rally? Was it a partisan rally? And what did people make of it?
Well, of course it was political. I mean, how could it not be? How can you marshal that many people and treat them to a day which has a political message and then say it's not political? I mean, it's, you know, I think what John Stewart does is like op-ed columns, but he's but with jokes. It's not quite the same as a sort of blast everything out of the water satire like Dr. Strangelove. You know, they're different jobs.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, there's a sentence that was written about you in The Guardian.
It's best to sum it up with a sentence.
I think this is the most qualified sentence I've ever read about anyone, because it begins, "And yet, on the evidence of this half-success, Morris remains one of the few contemporary practitioners of caricature in relation to whom the word genius doesn't seem inappropriate."
I know, I recognize that. And I think that is a man who's in a very sad state. I mean, you know, if you could say the job of making a film like this would be to cause someone to write a sentence as bad as that, then you'd say, job done.
Well, Chris Morris, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Chris Morris directed and co-wrote the new film, Four Lions.